You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hello, and welcome to MLB.com Extras. We're going to be talking Atlanta Braves. I'm Matthew Leach, joined by MLB.com's Braves beat reporter, Mark Bowman. Mark, about this time last year, maybe earlier last year, it seemed like there was a lot of talk that maybe Alex Wood's future was in the bullpen. That for whatever reason, his delivery or his repertoire or whatever, that, you know, maybe they get some starts out of him now, but in the long run, that probably wasn't where he would end up. After his latest, and not just one, but the latest of many really outstanding starts, safe to say we can put that notion to rest?
I think for now. You know, I think barring any type of injury, his future is as a starter. I think the talk about starter versus reliever really was fueled during spring training, leading into the 2013 season. That's the first time, you know, most people got a chance to see this odd delivery. And you're saying, well, you know, if you subject him to the innings of a starter, you're going to increase the chance of him getting hurt and, you know, this and that. Well, you know, if you really break down the mechanics, they're odd, just like Chris Sale, and that's the guy that he gets compared to from a mechanical standpoint most often. But, you know, when he gets to his the key points, you know, when his landing leg, his front leg lands, his arm's in the right place. And, you know, I think that the Braves did a lot of study with that and said, look, I don't think he's going to get hurt. And they took the risk, or, you know, whatever risk there was of using him as a starter, and they're benefiting from that because this guy does have a chance to be a legit number two and then possibly an ace in the future.
Has he been better than expected just as far as the production?
I can't see how anyone could have expected him to be this good this soon. You know, just 2 years ago, he's leaving the University of Georgia. And he was a good pitcher in the SEC. I mean, he was effective. Here's a guy who, even if you go back to his first start at Georgia, it was on the road at UCLA. Here he is, a redshirt freshman coming off Tommy John surgery. Nobody really knows who he is, but the guy he's matching up with that night, Garrett Cole, everyone's talking about how he's going to be the number one pick a few months later, which he was, and Alex Wood beat him that night there. And he opened some eyes there and just continued to do so as he improved his mechanics, continued to be more consistent with his pitches. Like I said, I don't think anyone could have predicted him to be this good this soon, but Billy Bridges, the scout who kept an eye on him there in Athens and throughout the SEC trail, the day that they drafted him, he said that they had something special. You know, they got him as a second rounder, and he said this is a first round arm that has a chance to do some special things at the big league level.
He had a really interesting path this year with that mid-season trip to the pen to kind of keep his workload down. With the way that has worked out, is that maybe a model going forward as everybody tries to figure out how do you manage young starters, how do you keep them healthy, how do you keep them fresh? Is that method potentially a model for future Braves pitchers and maybe even other organizations?
Yeah, I think it's the debate with that would be, I mean, obviously you've got to find a way, if you're going into a season to limit innings, you're looking, you know, we'll just use his innings limit or the projection that they wanted 170 to 180 innings. If you go into a season like that, you can start him off at the beginning of the season, put him in the rotation, and then take them out like they did with Alex in May for, it ended up being 6 or 7 weeks, and then bring them back. The argument against that would be, you know, not everyone's going to make that transition. Maybe it wasn't necessarily a real smooth transition for Alex either. I mean, he had a couple bumps in the road there right after he came back to the rotation. In other words, you go from starter to reliever and back to starter. That's not really all that easy. Is it better off? I don't know if anyone would ever go with the model of, okay, well, we're not going to even have him make his first start until May. You know, in other words, just take off April. There may be an argument for that instead of subjecting the arm to that, the workload of a starter, then reliever, then starter. But at the same time, if you do that, you know, you're making assumptions. I mean, those are games that you know that he can impact. they're early in the season. There would be two different schools of thought there. My thinking is you better go ahead and start them in the rotation at the end of the season because you don't know how everyone else is going to fare. What if you had even more injuries this year and you didn't have a choice to even take them out of the rotation? You've got to win those games when you have a chance and then make you get to a point where you do have to take them out of the rotation in September, like the Nationals did with Strasburg. But I think more teams are going to try to do what the Braves did, find a point, whether it's at the very beginning of the season, somewhere in the middle, to take these kids out, give them a little break, and then put them on back in line for that innings projection that you set at the beginning of the year.
How did they come up with that specific plan? Because, it is really unusual as all these ways we've tried to go about this. This one is different for sure.
Yeah, this was, I think in some ways, I don't know if they had a set date coming into this season when they were going to do it. And the reason I say that is you had Medlin and Beachy go down to spring training. That changed some things. So then you had Santana starting a little late. You had Gavin Floyd and Mike Myers starting at the beginning of May. And I think, if you would have asked them on April 1st, when is Alex Wood going to be shut down, they would not have said May 4th or May 5th. They may have had that in mind somewhere in that area. But with so many different moving pieces at that point in time, so many different variables with Floyd and Meyer, especially still not knowing exactly when they would be back, they just had to kind of, go ahead and stay flexible. And the other part of that equation that Alex influenced was once he exited in April, he had such a good April. He's going 7-8 innings every start. He was on pace to go 220, 230 innings leaving April. So he may have even accelerated the stopping point a little bit himself just with the success that he had that first month.
Now, as Wood has been on the rise here lately, and I don't want to make too much of it, but the Braves are in a place where every little bit matters and their margin is pretty fine. Julio Teheran has been a little less effective in the second half. Since the break, he's looking at an ERA in 3.5, which isn't bad, but again, isn't what they were looking for. I think maybe a little more concerning, last four starts, 11 strikeouts, 9 walks in 25 innings. Those are kind of disconcerting ratios, even as the ERA has been back down. What do you see from him these last several weeks?
Yeah, I see a guy who, at times he's the same dominant guy that we saw throughout much of the first half. But I'll go back to yesterday, and it was a hot, humid day. But I really think fatigue played a factor. He's got bases loaded. He's got a 1-2 count against Ben Revere. And the slider that he has buried, and dominated guys against, all year long, he hangs it, and Ben Revere sends it over Jason Hayward's head. And everything about that, you wouldn't have predicted happening. I just see a guy who is showing some signs of fatigue, and I think if unfortunately last year and maybe even the year before, the Braves had some opportunities to take advantage of off days and give some of their young pitchers some rest down the stretch. That's not going to happen this year. They're in the heart of this pennant race. They certainly aren't going to skip anyone the rest of the way here. In other words, we got the Braves have an off day on Thursday. You're not going to see them come back and say, well, we're going to bring Teheran back on 5 days rest. They're going to take advantage of any off day they have. The one thing I see is a guy whose slider has not been as crisp, especially later in the game. And he's, if you looked at it like yesterday, he allowed 3 hits through the first 6 innings. He was cruising. And, that 7th inning just kind of got away from him. And a little bit, he had the intentional walk to Cody Ashe, and then he walked Grady Sizemore to load the bases. And Sizemore was pinch hitting for Hamels. That's the one guy you got to – he had 2 guys that he could have gotten out of there. You would have, expected him to get out that inning clean earlier in the season by either retiring Sizemore or Revere, and he didn't get it done yesterday.
One last thing before I let you go. I was looking, and Evan Gattis, when he came off the DL, had this nice little burst, and it was very encouraging. But since those first few games, he has not been very good lately. He has not been hitting the way that this team saw him hit earlier in the year and really needs him to hit. Is he hindered at all? Do you think there's anything going on there physically? Is it just a slump? What, when you see Gattis, why do you think it is that he's not hitting like he was earlier in the year?
You know, I think the first thing you have to ask is, whenever anybody has a back injury, are you hindered? And I have asked, and he says he's fine. You know, and I have not seen the production. I am not surprised, because, like I said, when you have a back injury, they seem to linger and weaken you in different ways throughout the rest of the year. The other thing, the other component that's weighing against Gattis is he's 6'4", 250 pounds, playing the catcher's position on a regular basis. I just think he's worn down. And this goes back to, you know, should they have pulled the trigger and tried to make a deal for him before the trade deadline? Maybe. In hindsight, it's easy to say, you know, if hindsight's 20/20, which it always is, it's easy to say right now. But I think this heightens, you know, the reason or highlights why you would trade Gattis during the offseason. Here's a guy who has tremendous power. You know, you have to question whether he's going to be durable enough to handle the catching position and provide that power over the course of an entire season. And I think that if you send him, dangled him to an American League team and gave them the opportunity to use him as a DH frequently, put him behind the plate here and there, I think you might get some value in return for him. So I do expect them to be shopped this offseason. The question is, you know, how much will these late season struggles influence what his value is, you know, during this offseason?
All right. Well, Mark Bowman, thanks for taking some time to chat. Everybody, thanks for listening. This is MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.